The message this week is entitled The Blood of the Covenant, and it begins a new series called Holy Week. The reading is from Matthew 26, 17 to 28. On the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
I'd like you to the best of your ability, to think about something from a new perspective, and maybe what I'm going to say you've always agreed with, but I really haven't thought of it this way. When it comes to, quotation, the holy days throughout the year, we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Good Friday and we celebrate Easter. And for many of us, the birth of Jesus, Christmas is a great time, and the resurrection of Jesus is a great time. But for many of us, we avoid Good Friday like the plague. We really want nothing to do with Good Friday. And maybe one of the reasons, pardon me, of that is because if we go through a detailed, gruesome look at a crucifixion, the crucifixion, no wonder no one wants to go to a Good Friday service. But may I suggest that the Good Friday isn't about crucifixion. It is not about crucifixion. For us, in our generation, crucifixion is horrible, but there have been horrible ways for people to die over the years. Good Friday is not about crucifixion. Good Friday is about the day the world itself changed forever. Not Easter. There's no scripture in the Bible that says that because Jesus was raised from the dead, our sins are forgiven. Not one. Not one. But all the scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, help me, there is no sacrifice left for sins. Good Friday, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't talking about, "I'm going to die." He knew he was going to die. When he said, "It is finished," the world became a new place. If you go back to the very beginning, when God created, and he finished his creation, he said, "It is finished." The whole world exploded with growth. On the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the sacrifice for sins, past, present, and future begins now. This time, in this place, a new world started fresh. I've had it wrong for so many years. Good Friday is the greatest day in the history of all people, of all ages, of all time. It's when we come to remember that Christ's death is our freedom and our sins forgiven. We never have to look at the crucifixion, but we need to look at all of the scriptures that Jesus spoke of, that Peter spoke of, that Paul spoke of, and on and on and on, that talks about this new life that we have because of his death. I remember this story told years ago. I don't remember where I first heard it, about a little girl who for the first time in her life, she heard the story of Jesus dying on the cross for her sins and everyone else's sins. That it was because of his blood that he died and he gave his sacrifice. This little girl had been feeling ill for a while. Parents said, we just need to go to the doctor. And they took the little girl to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't think it's really a big deal. I think we should just draw some blood. And her face was alarmed. And she asked the doctor, you're going to take blood? He said, yes. Well, when do I die? She so identified with the death of Jesus that she had to ask that question. Go with me through some of these scriptures. It's just going to be looking at several of these scriptures as we go through them. N.T. Wright says, what is seldom considered is that the evening of Good Friday, Jesus died and the world was a new place. Everything had changed and no one really realized it. So these scriptures that we're going to look at, I just want us to notice the forgiveness of sins and the blood attached to it. Matthew 26, 26 through 28, most of this was read today. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. For what? The forgiveness of sins. Now notice all these scriptures that we're going to be using today. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, what does your Bible say? By his what? It doesn't say, and I'm not belittling this, since we have now been justified by his resurrection, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? And I don't know if I can emphasize this to the point that I need to emphasize. We just really, there's something innate in all of us that we just really want to get past the death. Just get past the death. Let's get to the resurrection. And Jesus and Paul and Peter and John would say, stop, stop, roll that back. Easter, the resurrection, means nothing without the significance of his death. Do you know what the resurrection is? Credibility to what happened on Good Friday. Credibility to what happened on Good Friday. Ask Jesus, what is the greatest event that you ever participated in? That's a tough question, right? Especially when you read the book of Colossians, where it says Jesus was with God from the beginning. He created all things. He sustains all things. All of these things. What is the greatest event? I think without hesitation, and Jesus can correct me, and he will, if I'm wrong. I just don't think I am wrong. I think the greatest event in the eyes of Jesus was, I gave myself for you, and I'm still pouring myself out for you today. I haven't left you. I never have. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But the greatest event that happened since creation is the day the new creation began. And that day is when Jesus said, it is finished. Your sins are cleansed. So in Romans, he talks about this powerful. He demonstrates his own love for us. Why we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And then this scripture that we often use at communion, which is right. And often at communion, we just look at, well, we take this bread representing Christ's body. We take this grape juice representing Christ's blood. But maybe we don't go far enough to say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, that Jesus died for us. Yes, but he died for all of us and of all time. 1 Corinthians 11 and 25, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1 and verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And then in chapter 2 of Ephesians, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 12 and 13. Remember, at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far away, have been brought near through the resurrection of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. I think I wish it were true that all people who believed would take Good Friday as the day to remember that we exist in Christ, that we belong to God, that the Holy Spirit indwells us, that we are connected to them and they to us, and that we are part of one another worldwide because Jesus gave his life and he said, "It is finished." I wish churches all over the world would be as full and even more so than on Christmas. Not to neglect the greatness of Christmas and not to neglect the great Easter, but to remember the greatest event that ever took place and ever will take place was when Jesus said, "It is finished. A new world has started, and we're part of it, the forgiveness of sins." These scriptures are a reminder of this constant, amazing relationship that we have because of this. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, here's what Paul says, again reminding us. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on that cross." Colossian scripture is an amazing scripture. And then our 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and many of us could probably quote this. "For you know it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you've been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect." And because of that, we receive this wonderful, wonderful participation with Christ. And then again, a familiar passage, 1 John 1, 5 through 7. "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the resurrection of Jesus..." Oh, that's not what it says. "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." And then a short passage in the Revelation, in chapter 1, in the second part of verse 5, it says, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood." And then one more in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. As you know, Revelation is what's called an apocalyptic book, a symbolic book. Sometimes it's difficult to read. You're trying to find what's the meaning behind it. And no matter how frightening an apocalyptic literature is, or no matter how wonderful some kind of symbolism is, it's always for the encouragement of Christians. For example, when Peter wrote, it's a book dealing with suffering and persecution simply because you're Christian. Revelation is not so much that way. Revelation is victory in Christ through his blood, no matter what has happened to our ancestors, no matter what's happening to us, and no matter what will happen in the future, we can rest assured that we have this beautiful, amazing, eternal relationship with God, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and with each other because of his blood. To him who loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood. So in this symbolism in Revelation, he gives us a picture of this overwhelming thought. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Such a beautiful passage of scripture. So I want to close today, but I want to do something just a little bit different. I'd like you just, if you would, just maybe to close your eyes and let me read to you something that I think is unique in scripture. Just picture this in your mind, and I'm just going to read a few things and hope that you can share with me this beauty, this beautiful experience that we have because of Christ. Just picture this in your mind. And I looked, and there before me was a huge multitude, so large that no one could count. And there were people there from every nation and tribe and language. They were all standing around the throne in front of the Lamb, Jesus. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, meaning peace. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they all fell down on their faces, and they all worshiped God. Then one of the elders asked me, let's skip a few verses. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" And he said, "These are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And then it says, "And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Can you picture this scene? The lesson's been brief. The lesson, I think, is pretty obvious today. I don't know how many generations it'll take, or sometimes where it gets to the point, if it ever will get to the point, where churches won't have enough room to contain people because they have to. They have to be together with Christians and others and remember and participate and thank God for Good Friday. The day the universe changed forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.